half supported him till we reached the shore where the unfortunate spirit sank down in unconsciousness. I was a good deal exhausted also and sat down beside him to rest. I looked at him wallowing about in the sea at some distance and evidently bringing out someone along with him. Even in the midst of my awful surroundings, I could not help feeling a certain sense of amusement in looking at him. He made such frantic and exaggerated efforts to haul along the unlucky spirit, and was so shouting and going on that it was calculated to alarm anyone who was timid, and I did not wonder to hear the poor spirit almost imploring not to be so energetic, to take it a little slower, and to give him time to follow. Sure, I helped to get him out and to let him rest beside the other one. It seemed greatly delighted with his successful efforts and very proud of himself, and was quite ready to set off again, so I sent him after someone else whom we heard calling, and was attending to the other two when I again heard most pitiful wailings not far from me, though I could see no one at first. Then a faint, tiny speck of light like a will-o'-the-wisp glimmered in the darkness of that disgusting swamp, and by its light I saw someone moving about and calling for aid, so, not very willingly, I confess, I went into the mud again. He was supporting and trying to encourage, and with considerable trouble I got them both out and found the pirate spirit had also arrived with his rescued one. Truly a strange group we must have made on the shores of that slimy sea, which I learned afterwards was the spiritual creation of all the disgusting thoughts, all the impure desires of the lives of men on earth, attracted and collected into this great swamp of foulness. Swallowing in it had revelled in such low abominations in their earth lives and had continued to enjoy such pleasures after death through the mediumship of mortal men and women, till at last even the earth plane had become too high for them by reason of their own exceeding vileness, and they had been drawn down by the force of attraction into this horrible sink of corruption to wander in it till the very disgust of themselves should work a cure. Rescued had been one of the celebrated wits of Charles II's court, and after his death had long haunted the earth plane, sinking, however, lower and lower till he had sunk into this sea at last, the weeds of his pride and arrogance forming chains in which his feet were so entangled that he could not move till I released him. Dramatist of the reign of the early Georges. While the man and woman had belonged to the court of Louis XV and had been drawn together to this place, rescued by the pirate were somewhat similar in their histories. And to free myself from the mud of that horrible sea, but I now suddenly saw a small clear fountain of pure water spring up near to us as if by magic, and in its fresh stream we soon washed all traces of the mud away. Those whom we had rescued to try what they could do to help others in this land of darkness as a return for the help given to themselves, and having given them what advice and help I could, I started once more upon my pilgrimage. The pirate, however, seemed so very unwilling to part from me that we two set forth together once more, sought to help in our wanderings. Narrative would fill volumes and probably only weary my readers, so I shall pass over what seemed to me like weeks of earthly time, as nearly as I am able to reckon it, and will describe our arrival at a vast range of mountains whose bleak summits towered into the night sky overhead. We were both somewhat discouraged with the results of our efforts to help people, and to listen and to be helped, but as a rule our attempts had been met with scorn and derision, while not a few had even attacked us for interfering with them, and we had some trouble to save ourselves from injury. A man and woman of most repulsive appearance who were fighting at the door of a wretched hovel not but interfere to stop him. Whereupon both set on me at once, the woman spirit doing her best to scratch my eyes out, and I was glad to have the pirate come to my assistance, for, truth to tell, the combined attack had made me lose my temper, and by doing so I put myself for the moment on their level, and so was deprived of the protection afforded me by my superior spiritual development. Guilty of a most cruel and brutal murder of an old man, the husband of the woman, for the sake of his money, and they had been hanged for the crime, their mutual guilt forming a bond between them so strong that they had been drawn down together and were unable to separate in spite of the bitter hatred they now felt for each other. Being in this place, and each felt the other more guilty than themselves, and it had been their eagerness each to betray the other which had helped to hang both. Now they seemed simply to exist in order to fight together, and I can fancy no punishment more awful than theirs must have been, thus linked together in hate. And it was not possible to help them in any way, Shortly after leaving this interesting couple, we found ourselves at the foot of the Great Dark Mountains, and by the aid of a curious pale phosphorescent glow which hung in patches over them, we were able to explore the molecular pathways, and the rocks were very steep, so we stumbled up as best we might, for I should explain that by taking on a certain proportion of the conditions of this low sphere, I had lost the power to rise at will and float, which was a privilege of those who had reached the Land of Dawn. Toilsome ascent of one of the lower ranges of the mountains, we began to tramp along the crest of one, faintly lighted by the strange gleaming patches of phosphorescent light, and beheld on either side of us vast deep chasms in the rocks, gloomy precipices, and awful-looking black pits. To think there were spirits down in such depths of misery, and felt quite at a loss how to help them, when my companion, who had shirked all my efforts to rescue people, suggested that we should make a rope from some of the great rank, withered-looking weeds and grass that grew in small crevices of these otherwise barren rocks, and with such a rope I could lower him down, as he was more used to climbing in that fashion than I, and thus we might be able to draw up some of these spirits out of their dreadful position. It was a good idea, so we set to work and soon had a rope strong enough to bear the weight of my friend, for you should know that in spiritual, as well as in material things, weight is a matter of comparison, and the materiality of those low spheres will give them a much greater solidity and weight than belongs to a spirit sphere more advanced, and though to your material eyes of earth life my pirate friend would have shown neither distinct material form nor weight, yet a very small development of your spiritual faculties would have enabled you to both see and feel his presence, though a spirit the next degree higher would still remain invisible to you. In error, nor do I even say what is improbable, when I thus speak of my friend's weight, which for a rope made of spiritual grass and weeds was as great a strain as would have been the case with an earthly man and earth materials. Fast to a rock, the spirit descended with the speed and sureness acquired by long practice as a sailor. Once there, he soon made it fast round the body of the poor helpless one whom he found lying moaning at the bottom. Then I drew up the rope and the spirit, and when he had been made safe I lowered it to my friend and drew him up, and having done what we could for the rescued one, we went on and helped a few more in like fashion. When we had pulled out as many as we could find, a most strange thing happened. The phosphorescent light died out and left us in utter darkness, while a mysterious voice floating, as it seemed, in the air, said, "Go on now, your work here is done." Those whom you have rescued were caught in their own traps, and the pitfalls that they made for others had received themselves, till that time when repentance and a desire to atone should draw rescuers to help them and free them from the prisons they had themselves made. Are many spirits imprisoned who may not yet be helped out by any, for they would only be a danger to others were they free, and the ruin and evil they would shed around make their longer imprisonment a necessity. A prisons of their own creating, for these great mountains of misery are the outcome and product of men's earthly lives, and these precipices are but the spiritual counterparts of those precipices of despair over which they have in earthly life driven their unhappy victims. Not till their hearts soften, not till they have learned to long for liberty that they may do good instead of evil, will their prisons be opened and they be drawn forth from the living death in which their own frightful cruelties to others have entombed them. To our way down the mountainside till we reached the level ground once more, those awful mysterious dark valleys of eternal night, those towering mountains of selfishness and oppression had struck such a chill to my heart that I was glad indeed to know there was no call of duty for me to linger longer there. A wandering now brought us to an immense forest, whose weird fantastic trees were like what one sees in some awful nightmare. The leafless branches seemed like living arms held out to grasp and hold the hapless wanderer. Roots stretched out like twisting ropes to trip him up. Blackened as though scorched by the blasting breath of fire, a thick foul slime oozed and like powerful wax held fast any hand that touched it. Shrouds of some strange dark air plant clothed the branches like a pall, and helped to enfold and bewilder any who tried to penetrate through this ghostly forest. Were exhausted and half smothered came from this awful wood, and here and there we could see the imprisoned souls held captive in the embrace of these extraordinary prisons, struggling to get free, yet unable to move one single step. How, I wondered, shall we help these? Some were caught by the foot, a twisted root holding them as in a vice was glued to the trunk of a tree. The black moss, while yet another's head and shoulders were held fast by a couple of branches which had closed upon them. Flapped their wings overhead, yet seemed unable to touch any of the prisoners, though they came so near. "Who are those men and women?" "They are those," was the reply, "who viewed with delight the sufferings of others, those who gave their fellow men to be torn in pieces by wild beasts that they might enjoy the excitement of their sufferings. For no reason but the lust of cruelty have, in many different ways and in many different ages, tortured and entrapped and killed those who were more helpless than themselves, and for all now here release will only come when they have learned the lesson of mercy and pity for others and the desire to save someone else from suffering, even at the expense of suffering to themselves. Fetters which hold them be loosed, then they will be free to go forth and work out their atonement. Till then no one else can help them, none can release them. Be affected by themselves through their own more merciful desires and aspirations. If you will but recall the history of your earth and think how men in all ages have enslaved, oppressed and tortured their fellow men in every country of that globe, you will not wonder that this vast forest should be well peopled. It was deemed right that for your own instruction you should see this fearful place, but as none of those you see in pity have so far changed their hearts that you can give them aid, you will now pass on to another region where you can do more good. After leaving the forest of desolation we had not gone far upon our road when to my joy I saw my friend Hassan approaching. Man's warning I gave him the sign agreed upon and received the countersign in return. He had come, he said, with a message from my father and from my beloved who had sent me what were indeed sweet words of love and encouragement. I amongst those great masses of spirits whose evil propensities were equaled only by their intellectual powers, and their ingenuity in works of evil, have perverted and abused the powers with which they were endowed till they have made of them a curse and not a blessing. All points against the alliance they will hold out to tempt you, and the treachery of every kind they will practice on yourself. There are a few whom you are sent to succor and whom your own instinct and events will point out as those to whom your words will be welcome and your aid valuable. They bring you messages again, but some other may be sent to do so, and you must, above all things and before all things, remember to distrust any who come to you and cannot give the sign and symbol I have given. To invade the enemy's camp, and you will find that your errand is known to them and resented, whatever it may suit them to pretend. Promises, and when they seem most friendly distrust them most. I promised to remember and heed his warning, and he added that it was necessary I should part for a time from my faithful companion, the pirate, as he could not safely accompany me in those scenes to which my path would now lead, but he promised he would place him under the care of one who could and would help him to leave that dark country soon. Giving him loving and helpful messages to my beloved and my father, which he promised to deliver to them, we parted, and I set forth in the direction pointed out, greatly cheered and comforted by the good news and loving messages I had received. Chapter 22, Amusements in a Great City of Hell. Words of caution. I had proceeded but a short distance when I saw faithful friend sitting by the wayside, evidently waiting for me. The guidance from him. Much cordiality. He was now, he said, appointed to accompany me during a part of my present journey, and he told me of many strange circumstances which had befallen him and which I am sure would prove very interesting, but as they do not properly belong to my own wanderings I will not give any account of them here. Faithful friend took me to a tall tower, from the top of which we could see all over the city we were about to visit. This view of it beforehand being, he said, likely to prove both useful and interesting to me. We were, as I have said, surrounded always by this dark midnight sky and heavy smoky atmosphere, somewhat like a black fog yet different and not quite so dense, since it was possible to see through it. Fluorescent light I have described, and elsewhere by the lurid flames kindled from the fierce passions of the spiritual inhabitants. Climbed to the top of the tall tower, which appeared to be built of black rocks, we saw lying below us a wide stretch of dark country, and near to us lay the great city, a strange mixture of magnificence and ruin, such as characterized all the cities I saw in this dark land. And waste surrounded it, and great masses of dark blood-tinged vapor hung brooding over this great city of sorrow and crime, all stamped with ruin and decay, all bleared and blotched with the stains of the sinful lives lived within them, crumbling into decay, yet held together by the magnetism of their spiritual inhabitants, buildings that would last, while the links woven by their spiritual occupants' earthly lives held them in this place, and would crumble into the dust of decay whenever the soul's repentance should sever those links and suffer it to wander free, crumble into decay, however, only to be reconstructed by another sinful soul in the shape into which his earthly life of pleasure should form it. Lives and ambitions of the indwelling spirits had been interwoven and blended on earth, so were their dwellings constructed here side by side. Have you ever thought, ye who dwell yet on earth, how the associates of your earthly lives may become those of your spiritual ever them? Thus I saw in these buildings before me the proud patrician's palace, built of his ambitions and disfigured by his crimes, joined to the humble abodes of his slaves and his parasites and panderers of earth, which had been as surely formed by their desires and disfigured by their crimes, and between which and his palace there were the same links of spiritual magnetism as between himself and those who had been the sharers and instruments of his evil ambitions. Able to free himself from them and their importunities than they were able to free themselves from his tyranny, till a higher and purer desire should awaken in the souls of one set or the other of them and thus raise them above their present level. Impelled thereto by that past itself, their memories presenting to them over and over again as in a moving panorama their past acts and the actors, so that by no plunge into wild excess in that dark land could they escape the grinding of memory's millstones, till at length the last lust of sin and wickedness should be ground out of their souls. Over this great spiritual city of past earth lives hung, as I have said, patches of light of a dim misty appearance like faintly luminous smoke, steel grey in colour. This, I was told, was the light thrown off from the powerful intellects of the inhabitants whose souls were degraded but not undeveloped, and whose intellects were of a high order but devoted to base things, so that the true soul light was wanting and this strange reflection of its intellectual powers alone remained. In other parts of the city the atmosphere itself seemed on fire, flickered from place to place, like ghostly fires whose fuel has turned to ashes ere the flames have burned out, and as the floating phantom flames were swept to and fro by the currents of the air I saw groups of dark spirits passing up and down the streets heedless, or perhaps unconscious, of these spectral flames that were thrown into the atmosphere by themselves, and were created by their own fierce passions which hung around them as spiritual flames. In this strange city of dead and ruined souls, a strange wave of feeling swept over me, for in its crumbling walls, its disused buildings, I could trace a resemblance to the one city on earth with which I was most familiar and which was dear to my heart since I had been one of her sons. And I called aloud to my companion to ask what this meant. What was this vision I beheld before me? Was it the past or the future or the present of my beloved city? Now are the buildings and the spirits of its past such, that is, as have been evil, and there among them are buildings half finished, which those who are dwelling there now are forming for themselves, and as these dwellings of the past are, so shall these half-finished buildings be in the days to come when each who builds now shall have completed his or her life work of sin and oppression. Well, and then go back to earth a messenger of warning to sound in the ears of your countrymen the doom that awaits so many. Go in even one heart and arrest the building of but one of these unfinished houses. You shall have done well, and your visit here would be worth all that it may cost you. Yet that is not the only reason for your coming. This city, there are souls whom we can save from their darkened lives, who will go back to earth and with trumpet tongues proclaim in the ears of men the horrors of the retribution they have known, and from which they would save others. How many ages have passed since the world was young, and how much improvement there has been in the lives and thoughts of the men who dwell upon it, and shall we not suppose that even ordinary reason might admit it must naturally be due to the influence of those who have returned to earth to warn others from the precipice over which themselves had fallen in all the pride and glory and lust of sin? Is it not a far nobler ideal to place before men the idea that God sends these his children, sinful and disobedient once if you will, but repentant now, back to earth, as ministering spirits to war and help and strengthen others who struggle yet in the unregenerated sinfulness of their lower natures, rather than believe that he would do many to the hopeless, helpless misery of eternal punishment? You and I have both been sinners beyond pardon, some of the good of earth might have said, yet we have found mercy in our God even after the 11th hour, and shall not even these also know hope? Shall we therefore in our little minds set limits to the heights to which they may yet climb? Perish the thought that such horrors as we have looked upon in these hells could be eternal. God is good and his mercy is beyond any man's power to limit. We descended now from the tower and entered the city. Counterpart I was very familiar. We found quite a large crowd of dark spirits assembled, listening to some sort of proclamation. It was one which excited their derision and anger, for there were yells, and hoots, and cries resounding on all sides, and as I drew yet more near I perceived it was one which had been read recently in the earthly counterpart, and had for its object the further liberation and advancement of the people, an object which, down here in this stronghold of oppression and tyranny, only provoked a desire for its suppression, and these dark beings around me were vowing themselves to thwart the good purpose as far as lay in their power with violence. The stronger were these beings here below to interfere in their affairs and to stir up strife and fighting among them, the less chance was there that these dark spirits would be drawn to earth by the kindling of kindred passions there, and thus be enabled to mingle with and control men for their own evil purposes. These dark beings delight in war, misery and bloodshed, and are ever eager to return to earth to kindle men's fierce cruel passions afresh. In times of great national oppression and revolt, when the heated passions of men are inflamed to fever heat, these dwellers of the depths are drawn up to earth's surface by the force of kindred desires, and excite and urge on revolutions, which, begun at first from motives that are high and pure and noble, will under the stress of passion and the instigation of these dark beings from the lower sphere become at last mere excuses for wild butcheries and excesses of every kind. Excesses of reaction is created, and these dark demons and those whom they control are in their turn swept away by the higher powers, leaving a wide track of ruin and suffering to mark where they have been. Thus in these lowest hells a rich harvest is reaped of unhappy souls who have been drawn along with the evil spirits that tempted them. As I stood watching the crowd, faithful friend drew my attention to a group of spirits who were pointing over at us and evidently meditated addressing us. "I shall go," said he, "for a few moments and leave you to speak with them alone. It will be better to do so, for they may recognize me as having been here before, and I would wish you to see them by yourself. Be far away, and will meet you again later when I see that I can help you by doing so for a little." As he spoke he moved away, and the dark spirits drew near to me with thought it as well to respond with politeness, though in my heart I felt the most violent repugnance to their company. They were so repulsive looking, so horrible in their wicked, leering ugliness. One touched me on the shoulder, and as I turned to him with a dim sense of having seen him before, he laughed a wild horrid laugh, and cried out, "I hail thee, friend who I see dost not so well remember me as I do thee, though it was upon the earth plane we met before. To thee, only thou wouldst have none of our help, and played us, methinks, but a scurvy trick instead. Lambs, didst thou but know us, have forgiven thee." So drew near, leering in my face with a smile perfectly diabolical, and said, "So ho, then surely you must have done something to merit the distinction whom you have killed or caused to be killed, for none are here who cannot claim at least one slain by them, while many of us can boast of a procession as long as the ghosts that appeared to Macbeth, and others again our most distinguished citizens count their slain by hundreds. Did you kill that one after all?" question mark ha. And he broke into such a wild horrible pit I turned to fly from them, for like a flash had come across my mind the memory of that time when I, too, could have been almost a murderer, and I recognized in these horrible beings those who had surrounded me and counseled me how to fulfill my desire, how to wreak my vengeance even though no earthly form was still mine. Ego, I was here drawn down, as they hoped, at last, and they sought to keep me with them that I might afford them some sport and they might avenge themselves upon me for their former defeat. And this thought, though outwardly they were crowding around me with every protestation of hearty friendliness, to go with them and see what, watching at the same time for the first opportunity to free myself from them, I therefore suffered them to take me by an arm each, and we proceeded towards a large house on one side of the square which they said was theirs, and where they would have the pleasure of introducing me to their friends. Faithful friend passed close to us and looking at me impressed the warning, "Consent to go, but beware of entering into any of their enjoyments or allowing your mind to be dragged down to the level of theirs. Entered and passed up a wide staircase of greyish stone, which like all things here bore the marks and stains of shame and crime. The broad steps were broken and imperfect, with holes here and there large enough, some of them, to let a man through into the black dungeon-like depths beneath. Just as we were stepping over one of these, and had I not been watching for some such trick I might have been tripped up and pushed in. As it was I simply drew aside and my too officious companion narrowly escaped tumbling in himself, whereat the rest all laughed and he scowled savagely at me. Then as the one whose hand had been shriveled in the silver ring of fire drawn around my darling on the occasion when her love had drawn me to her and saved me from yielding to these dark fiends. This spirit held his hand carefully hidden under his black cloak, yet I could see through it, and I beheld the shriveled hand and arm, and knew then that I might indeed beware of its owner. Large magnificent room, lighted up by a glare of fire and hung around with dark draperies which were in perfect rags and tatters and all splashed with crimson stains of wet blood, as though this had been the scene of not one but many murders. Rooms were placed ghostly phantoms of ancient furniture, ragged, dirty, and defaced, yet retaining in them a semblance to an earthly apartment of great pretensions to splendor. This room was filled with the spirits of men and women. Such men, and alas, women, claim to the charms and privileges of their sex. Haggled specimens to be seen in any earthly slum at night. Women sink to such an awful degradation as these. Add, or even if possible worse, and words utterly fail me to describe them, were it indeed advisable to do so. King, shouting, dancing, playing cards and quarrelling over them, in short, going on in such a way as the worst and lowest scenes of earthly dissipation can but faintly picture. I could see a faint reflection of the earthly lives of each, and knew that each and all of them, men and women alike, had been guilty, not only of shameless lives, but also of murder from one motive or another. On my left was one who had been a duchess in the days of the 16th century, and I beheld that in her history she had from jealousy and cupidity poisoned no less than 6 persons. Beside her was a man who had belonged to the same era, and had caused several persons obnoxious to him to be assassinated by his bravos, and had moreover slain another with his own hand in a most treacherous manner during a quarrel. One had killed her illegitimate child because it stood between her and wealth and position. Of the others, so I resolved if possible to get near to and speak to her. My entrance was greeted with great shouts of laughter and wild applause, while half a dozen or so of eager hands took hold of me and dragged me to the table, whereupon there were cries, "Let us drink to the damnation of this our new brother." Eyes him with a draught of this our new brother. Cooling wine? Realized their intentions. They were all waving their glasses aloft amidst yells and shouts and horrible laughter, whilst one, seizing a full glass of the fiery liquid, tried to throw it over me. A portion fell upon my robe which it scorched and burned like vitriol, while the wine itself turned into a bluish flame such as one sees with lighted whiskey and disappeared at last with an explosion as of gunpowder. Dishes which at first sight resembled earthly delicacies, but on closer inspection I saw they were full of the most horrible corrupting and loathsome maggots. As I turned away from them one hag of a woman, for she was much more old and ugly and horrible to look upon than the most degraded specimen you can imagine, whose bleared eyes and fiendish expression made me recoil from her, seized me round the neck and cried, with many grimaces which she intended for coquettish smiles, "She had been, O ye powers, a great beauty on earth, to induce me to join her and her party in a little game of cards, for which we would play consist of the liberty of the loser. Mode of passing our time here, since it revives for us the divertissements of the past, and because there is no money here which one can win, or use if you win, seeing it all turns to dross in your hands, we have adopted this mode of paying our debts, and we agree to be the slave of anyone who beats us at our games of chance and skill till we can turn the tables on them by ourselves winning and making them in turn our slaves. Charming arrangement, as you would find did you join our party for a little," she added, with a strange mixture of insolent arrogance and animosity in her tone. "These others here are but the canaille, the scum of the place, and you do well to turn from them and their amusements. A royal duchess, and these my friends are all noble also, and we would adopt you, who are also, I perceive, one of the elite, among ourselves of a queen, she signed me to be seated beside herself, and had she been a few degrees less horrible, I might have been tempted to do so, if only from my curiosity to see what their game would be like. It was too strong in me, and I shook myself free of her as well as I could, saying, which was true, that cards had never possessed any attraction for me.